one is devastating, and the grieving process varies from person to person. All death-related business matters are handled personally by a member of the Martin family, either Ross or his son Tom Martin. For personal preference at a funeral home, let the Martin Funeral Home handle everything. The Martin Funeral Home, located on Center Avenue in Butler.
It looks like we have an isolated shower today, a cloudy afternoon with a high just about 48, a low tonight down to 32. Some sunshine on the way on Thursday, even on Friday. Looks like a high on Thursday near 51 and a high on Friday near 64. Saturday, some showers likely to be back in the picture. A high of 62 degrees, 43 right now in downtown Butler. I'm Tracy Morgan in the Next Year Bank studios. Next Year Bank, your hometown community bank. Your news time is 12:31. Dave Malarkey's up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us. Have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's Your Turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday It's Your Turn program. Halfway through the week, the final weekend in October looms. I think it's going to be Halloween weekend because Halloween falls on a Tuesday this year. And I don't think too many people party on a Tuesday. Well, maybe they do. I don't know. This is the first time yesterday and today for me that it has really looked and felt like October. Gray clouds, dark clouds, scuttling by, a little rain once in a while, chilly, breezy. Yeah, we were living on borrowed time there, delightful borrowed time for quite a while. Good program lined up for you today. A little bit later on, we're going to be talking about arthritis with a medical doctor. Her name is Susan Blum, and she will talk about handling arthritis, healing arthritis naturally, as opposed to a lot of drugs. So we'll talk to her a little bit later. And also Jim Roddy will join us today. Jim Roddy is currently a senior advisor for St. Barnabas Health System. He is a former chief executive in Allegheny County. They don't have county commissioners there anymore. They have chief executives. And I've seen him on TV. I've never met him. So it would be nice to chat with him a little bit later on the program. We're going to be talking about some of the ramifications and the impact of that cracker plant, the shell. A cracker plant just over the Butler County line in Beaver County. So all of that coming up later, but our first guest sits right across the table from me right now. It's Bob Dandoy, representing the Butler Downtown organization. Robert, good to see you again. Nice to have you with us.
Always good to be here on an overcast day, but still it's nice to talk. Thanks
October.
For making the time.
It looks and feels like October.
It does. It does.
Bob and I were talking beforehand. This is that time of the year, really for about a month, when you can go anywhere with the weather. I know a couple of times it snowed on Halloween, not often. Mm-hmm. Bob said sometimes you can sit on your front porch on trick-or-treat night in your shorts and a T-shirt. Actually, you can do that even up till Thanksgiving. I know a couple of times I played touch football in the backyard family on Thanksgiving Day. By the same token, 2 weeks earlier, the Veterans Day Parade, I've been in downtown Butler, where it's spitting sleet and the wind blowing and really raw. So it's that nebulous period here for the next month or so weather-wise. It's also Halloween, and I know the Butler Downtown Organization has a Halloween hunt on Main. Is that all full? Do you have any spots left on that?
No, there are spots left. This has been one of the really more successful activities that we've done over the last few years. And it really was, it was kind of funny. It was sort of an afterthought at a meeting for our promotions committee, as we just were kicking around some ideas, and we came up with this idea of Halloween on Main Street. In past years, in the old days, and I'm talking way old days, there was Trick or Treat on Main Street, but then that just got kind of out of control for some of the businesses. Mm-hmm. So they stopped doing it. And we looked at this as a different kind of activity, not just going from place to place and getting treats. And then the first time we did it, we enlisted the support and help of the Art Center, who is still around and helping us with it. And the kids started there and ended there. And I remember telling the committee at the time, I said, look, what we need to do is get about 8 businesses. I said, we're going to have to go out and very proactively solicit them, say, would you please do this? And that way we know we'll have 8 stops along the way with a beginning and end at the Art Center. And I said, and if we get 25, 30 kids, I said, we'll set it up for 40, which is what I think we did. I said, 25, 30 kids, that would be great, you know. Well, now, this year, I think we have 21, 22 businesses that have signed up. And it's been one of those things where we just kind of let everybody know, hey, we're doing it. And all of a sudden, the phone calls start happening that people want to be involved with it. And the available slots for kids have expanded to a little over 100. And that's about, you know, what we'll get. And it's become a more elaborate activity. This year, they'll start at, again, the Art Center, and they do a craft. There's some refreshments there to kind of start it out. And I always make sure I mention mom, dad, there'll be coffee for you. and we give them a free little treat bag, and they do their little craft, and we send them out the door. And off they go up the street, back and forth, all over Main Street, until they get down to the other end where the most of the people in town know it as the Burger Hut parking lot. It's the North Main Street parking lot across from the Burger Hut. And Burger Hut is one of the stops on the tour, on the hunt. And the First English Lutheran Church also is a stop on the hunt. The city firemen will be there with the fire truck, so the kids can crawl up in the fire truck, and they usually have a treat. And then they'll just go right through that parking lot over to the Butler Public Library, where, again, there'll be some treats there for them. And Caitlin Borland, who is one of the librarians there, is going to be doing the story time with the kids. And it's just great fun to watch the kids and do this.
Well, when they're in their costumes, I mean, we all remember that when we were that age.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And so it's a wonderful day. There are a few slots left, but only a few, okay?
Now, the reason we're talking about slots, folks, is this is not, as Bob said, it can get a little disorganized. So there, you get a time slot.
Right.
With X number of kids leaving, it's kind of like a tea time on a golf course.
Exactly.
So
like
you're
that.
Not overwhelming the stores, and you don't have a whole bunch of kids at one place.
Right, and so that you're not overwhelming the kids. I mean, if you all start out together, you know, at the Arts Center, then it becomes chaos there, and the kids don't get that quality experience that we were hoping for. I mean, they have people there that are artists, and they're helping the kids with their craft, and mom and dad helps, and it's really fun, and it's very low-key, and it's not pandemonium. So, yes, we do ask that you go to www.butlerdowntown.org. There is a small charge for the event that covers some expenses that we have with the event. Very nominal, it's $5. And you're going to get a whole lot of activity for the $5, I guarantee you. And we of course encourage the kid, want the kids to dress up in their costumes and come down. But one of the things, you know, there is a ulterior motive to this thing, and that's one of the great things. I can still remember the first one that we did, and I was sort of troubleshooting, going back and forth between the one end of town at the other and the other. I think actually for the first one, I don't remember the name of the place, but as I walked up and down the street, I saw this little girl coming at me in her little, I think it was no doubt Ella from Frozen, you know, there was probably 40 of those that year. And she was walking towards me with her mother, and I stopped and I said, hi, how you doing? I said, are you having a good time? And the mother said, you know, it's been years since we've come into some of these businesses. And she mentioned specifically Miller's Meats and Cummings Coffee. And she goes, this is such a nice Main Street and a nice town. And this was before some of the businesses that we have now. We have some wonderful new businesses that are participating, like Butler Brew Works, and we have New Dimension Comics that's downtown Butler now. And
by the way, the kid has to be an adult with the kids, right?
Yeah, there has to be an adult with the kids, right? Okay. Yeah.
And that's, in this day and age, that's a necessity, too. In fact, you wouldn't want it any other way.
Well, and plus the fact on Main Street, you know, there are stores on both sides of the street. Mm-hmm. So we want somebody helping them to cross.
Absolutely.
And do things like that. So, again, it's a way of the kids having fun, great activity, making them, giving them a memory of Butler that we all had from when we were kids, you know, what Main Street was like, but also introducing parents and families to some of the offerings that are down there with, that they've forgotten about, or the old, I didn't know we had that now, and we do. So it becomes a really great activity. We really have a good time doing it. So.
Sometimes we take some of the downtown businesses for granted. I was stopped at a red light a couple of weeks ago and glanced over at the book nook, and I said, you know, nationwide, there are very few bookstores left.
Very few.
Huge chains have gone out of business. If I've got an hour to kill, I can go in a bookstore, and I'm in seventh heaven.
Yeah, sure.
Just walking around and browsing and so on and so forth. And I thought, oh, aren't we blessed?
Yeah, and I think that you know, certainly everyone, and I've said this on the show before, that we're not, you know, downplaying or putting down the big box stores, as we say, or certainly the online retailers, but that certainly has impacted small business in America. And so you don't have those kinds of stores because it's just really, really hard now. But I think there is this upswing right now, and there's a lot of data and statistics that show that, where people are looking for that sort of personalized service, you know, where you can walk into a bookstore, it's a perfect example, and say, I'm looking for the good mystery. Can you recommend anything? Mm-hmm. And the person behind the desk says, sure, you know, and they show you the book, where you go into a restaurant and you get food that you, as I always say, you can't get that anywhere else. Whatever it may be, that you've got somebody that knows what they're talking about and are able to give you that personalized service, it's really only pennies more. I mean, it really isn't substantially more as far as the cost and the prices go. And the other part of it is we find that it's really a small investment on our part to make sure that these businesses are there and stay in business and vital businesses. It's something like $5 out of every 100 that we spend. If we could spend that in small businesses, it really greatly impacts local economy, creates jobs. Of course, when you create jobs, you create people in downtown areas, you create tax revenue. When you create tax revenue, then you can pay for firemen and policemen and road repairs and street repairs and all the things that and all the social things that we like having in a downtown area too. There's a massive ripple effect here. And so that's why we want to see these people come down and you know, work with these, support these small businesses.
By the way, I didn't intend this to be a segue, but I just realized that it is. And I think I told you about this last week when I talked with Beth Brown. Beth lives in Florida. She's lived down there forever. She's an engineer, teaches computer science or something. But she is also an author, and she's written a book that it's a novel that features a lot of the old places in Butler, the hot dog shop, many others too. She's going to be with us day after tomorrow, Friday, and she's going to be making a personal appearance at the Book Nook, signing books on Saturday. So she'll have all the details for you on Friday, but it just occurred to me I can mention that. I'm kind of anxious to talk to her. I talked to her on the phone. I did not know her. Very friendly person. And she said, one of the things I really miss is the changing of the leaves, the color of the leaves. I said, well, Beth, I said, you might be a little bit disappointed this year because it's about the dullest fall foliage that I can remember. But who knows?
Which started out good, but then it switched very, very fast. Yeah, some of the old businesses, of course, there's some of the old businesses that are still there, like Cummings and Miller's Meats and the Burger Hut.
Miller's Shoes, 125th anniversary.
Yeah, you know, Monday's Shoes. There's quite a few of those. But the ones that I enjoy, I don't know if you ever realized this, in the Butler Brew Works, when they, of course, remodeled and everything, one of the things that came down in that block was the Butler Hot Dog Shop. But if you go into the Brew Works, first of all, on one wall, just as an ornament, is a big, the top, remember what's called, like a cornice from the Reber building, which was the, one of the buildings up at the end, which now is just a decoration. But what's really cool is the bricks behind the bar in the Butler Brew Works where the taps are for their various beers, those are the hot dog shop. All right. So I think that's just great little touches and things that are a lot of fun. And
well, anyway, we look forward to welcoming Beth Brown back to Butler day after tomorrow, and how nice that she's going to stop in and chat with us for a while, too. We're chatting with Bob Dandoy. He's actually a past president of Butler Downtown and still a spokesperson and a representative for the group. So if you want to get the kids involved with the Halloween Hunt on Main, it's this Saturday, by the way.
I wanted to mention, too, the time. It begins at 10 o'clock in the morning. As you said, we send the kids out every half hour, and it ends up the last slot is at 1 o'clock. So the kids who are showing up for the 1 o'clock would probably complete the whole thing by around 2-ish. Okay, so
You register online.
I register online, yes, indeed.
ButlerDowntown.org. So what else is happening downtown as we head into really the cusp of the holiday season? Once Halloween has come and gone, boy, it's bang, bang, bang. Election Day in a couple of days, Veterans Day a few days after that, Thanksgiving is 2 weeks after that.
I know. The other day it was funny because my wife Julie and I went uptown to stop in the stores that were hosting the stops on the Halloween hunt. Mm-hmm. Not all stores are participating. They'll be a big sign in the window so the kids will know, and they get a little map or list of them. But so we were done doing this, and we came back to the house, and the phone rang, and it was somebody that I was talking to from the county as we're organizing the Christmas tree display in Diamond Park again as part of what we do at Butler Downtown. So I went from delivering things for the Halloween hunt, came home and answered a question about the Christmas tree display. So there you got it. You know, we're covering it all.
Talk to us about Christmas, the Spirit of Christmas Parade, which the WISR and our sister stations now sponsor.
Absolutely.
That's coming up Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Right. I just was
been working on that for weeks.
Yeah, I was just in a meeting with Vicki, and we talked about how we're dovetailing, of course, that same day as the parade and all the festivities in downtown Butler, which fantastic stuff going on, is Small Business Saturday. And so as part of Butler Downtown's effort, we'll have the things that we've had for the last several years. We'll be giving away some prizes, concert tickets, a big basket of stuff, different certificates and items from the downtown stores. We have our headquarters in the Symphony Building, Butler County Symphony, up near the Diamond, beautiful building. And we'll have our headquarters there, and you can stop by to get a free canvas bag, and you can go do your shopping and enter drawings, and a lot of it's free. We do a scavenger hunt, some questions you have to go around and answer about some stores in Butler Downtown. And one of the things that's really popular is we have a Selfie Saturday. If you take your picture in front of one of your favorite stores and say it's my favorite store, and you post it on the Butler Downtown page, you're entered into a drawing for a gift certificate. So a lot of fun stuff.
This is a nationwide campaign, isn't it? I saw something on TV about
small
business.
Yeah,
Saturday.
Absolutely. It's a nationwide campaign. One of the reasons what Small Business Saturday is all about, we talk about Black Friday, okay, which is the day before. And what people sometimes don't realize is where that name came from. Sometimes they think it's like, oh my gosh, it's Black Friday. It's a disaster if you go in the store, and it's insanity. Actually, it comes from the fact that this is a day where we are pushing, and that most businesses will then go in the black on their books. So they've had that huge Christmas shopping surge, and they try to get that so they generate enough revenues so that they're now lucrative for the year. So on the heels of that, because so much of that is geared towards the big box stores and online retailing, although that's a separate day of its own now, they begin Small Business Saturday. And this has grown, and really I have to give the proper props and credit to American Express, who has sort of taken this and ran with it, and they do a lot of national advertising supporting small business, and a lot of the promotional items that we receive from American Express, you know, free of charge. We, you know, we register, and they send us lots of stuff for all of our shoppers. So it's a great day. It's a fun day. And again, that's that day when so much, and Butler, oh my goodness, with all the stuff that's going on with the radio station and the parade and all the events that have been planned here, and you couple that with the shopping experiences that happen and the restaurants are filled, and then that night, of course, going right into the great Spirit of Christmas parade we have.
Yeah, moving it to the nighttime was a brilliant move. It's really nice. Yeah. We're talking with Bob Dando. He's going to be with us for a few more minutes. Need to take a quick break, though, here on the It's Your Turn program for a Wednesday and talk to you about one of our sponsors, and that's Hearing Aid Service by Kelly, K-E-L-L-I-E, Hearing Aid Service by Kelly. Personalized one-on-one service. This is something, you know, if you or maybe your spouse or someone in the family has reached a stage where they, you know, realize they might need help hearing. But personalized service is so, so important. Your hearing aid, if you're dealing with Hearing Aid Service by Kelly, will be measured directly to fit your ear. She's interested in helping you, not selling you the highest priced hearing aid. In fact, she has two main points. Obviously, she wants to be able to make you hear better. But comfort is a big factor, too. And I think most of us have known someone who has gotten a hearing aid, but they don't wear it very often because when it hurts, it's not comfortable. That's a big concern with Kelly. She will take this personalized service, one-to-one. She'll take the time to make sure that everything is just the way you want it and you need it. And by the way, you'll save money, thousands, no overhead. Yeah. Complimentary consultation. Folks, let me tell you, people who have made the change or even consulted with Kelly are so happy that they did. Why not give her a call? Call the hearing aid lady. Hearing Aid Service by Kelly. 724-756-4327. 724-756-4327. Hearing Aid Service by Kelly. We'll be back right after this.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Welcome back, good friends. Talking to Bob Dandoy here about activities and events coming up in Butler downtown as we really get ready to head into the holiday season. Well, you've got something on the agenda here that I am not familiar with at all, Bob. It's called Paint the Town Red.
Well, that's the theme or the little hook for it this year, but this is our annual celebration. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is something that under the guidelines of the Pennsylvania, Downtown Center, and the National Main Street Program. We still operate by those guidelines and structures, even though we no longer have a Main Street manager, which is part of the being recognized by the program. But this is a model that's been really, really successful, and so and for us too. And so we keep up with the guidelines, and one of those guidelines is to once a year present to your members a sort of recap of what's going on, okay? What have you done over the last year? And the first years of the organization we did this, it was just that, a meeting, and we had everybody come. One of us is interested to see how we were spending our money and what we were accomplishing. Well, a few years ago, we decided that, you know, they at one point started to give away some awards, okay, to recognize volunteers and businesses in downtown Butler. And we decided we could do this better. And so we didn't want to call it an annual meeting anymore because that doesn't sound like very much fun at all. And so what we started to call it was the annual celebration. And this has probably been, this may be the fourth or fifth year that we've called it the celebration. And it has truly become a celebration. It is a wonderful, wonderful event. First of all, let me say unequivocally, everyone is invited. All the businesses, employees, customers, friends, supporters, anyone who is interested in or supports the efforts and the programs of Butler Downtown. So we go to this celebration and we still let them know, here's what we've done over the last year. It's a very short presentation. I emphasize the short, okay, to fulfill that obligation and to make sure people are in the loop. But then we give away the awards. We have some wonderful food. We usually have our downtown breweries there to, you know, do some pours for us, some great food, music. I mean, it's just a really good, it's like a happy hour event. And it is November 9th at 5:30. This year, we will be holding it at Brushes and Barstools, our paint party place on Butler, on Main Street in Butler, owned by Dorothy and Lance Calvert. And it's great, great space. Talk about what we were talking about before, someone who's gone in and reimagined an old space in downtown Butler and what how wonderful it looks. And it is. It's a great, great space. And so we'll be having it there, and we'll recognize some people, including our business of the year, which is this year the Chop Shop. This talk about time flying. I asked Bill Atkinson, the owner of the Chop Shop and the chef there, I said, Bill, how long has this been around now? And I'm thinking, like, 3 or 4 years, you know. Seven. I said, wow, you know, and certainly the Chop Shop is one of those businesses that has been very significant to downtown, and what Bill does there with the food is amazing, and it's really become a stop. And one of the criteria for Business of the Year is to have a business that not only is a great business, but also helps draw people into downtown Butler. And that's certainly what the Chop Shop has done. Bill is also a great supporter of local events and charities and Butler downtown itself. So the Chop Shop is our Business of the Year. And then Lance Calvert is our Volunteer of the Year. We will recognize both of them for the work and the accomplishments that they've done.
What's it cost to go to this event?
Not a cent.
Free?
It is free. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And the public is welcome?
The public is welcome, yeah. We hope we get a nice crowd of people just to show your support and to find out what we're doing. This is also a great opportunity if anybody's thinking, I'd like to get involved in Butler Downtown. I can volunteer. We are truly the organization. You got an hour? We'll take an hour. You got more time? We'll take more time. And you can find out a little bit about what we're doing and how you might get involved.
You have to make reservations if you're thinking about going?
No.
No? Just stop in.
Just drop in. And like I said, it's more like a kind of like a happy hour event. Starts at 5:30, about 6:15-ish. We will begin the program. That lasts for 45 minutes, maybe an hour. And then a little bit after that, we'll hang around and have some more nibbles and noshes and libations. And
November 9th is a Thursday. Well, that's 2 days after Election Day, so that's easy to remember it that way. Yeah.
It's great. It's a lot of fun.
Wow. And about 10 years since Butler Downtown got formally organized.
Yeah, it's hard to find the point, okay, when it was actually born, because in the early days it was part of other efforts, including that of the there was a Downtown Revitalization Committee, that was its formal name, that came under the umbrella of the Redevelopment Authority, but then the Redevelopment Authority went together with the County Redevelopment Authority, and so you had all these things that were happening, and Butler Downtown was part of it. Then the Chamber of Commerce came in and decided, you know, that they would take Butler Downtown under its wing because the Chamber leadership believed in the program very strongly. So, you know, again, depending on what you use as the demarcation point.
Certainly safe to say it's about 10 years.
It's about 10 years, yeah. And then at one point, of course, we qualified for the state funding for the program, and around 2008 we hired our first Main Street manager, Becky Smith. So again, you know, depending on when you're going to mark that date, it's about 10 years. So we're calling it 10 this year, and that's the paint the town red because our logo is red and want people to come down. And of course, in that time, we didn't do this alone. There's been a lot of people contributing, a lot of people working, and that's another thing we'll be doing is honoring two nonprofit organizations in downtown Butler. They're not technically businesses, okay? So we have the Butler County Symphony Orchestra and the Art Center, the Associate Artists of Butler County.
Good choices.
Who have been fantastic in their support of us and their cooperation with us. Again, Art Center, they're on the Halloween hunt. We've used their facility for numerous events. The symphony, there are partners for Small Business Saturday. That's where we have our headquarters. Great people. We're all working together. And so we want to call attention to the work that they do, too, on that November day. So everybody, please come. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Bob Dandoy visiting with us here from Butler Downtown. Good to see you, Bob, as always.
Thank you so much, as always. Always appreciate the time.
We'll take a break. We're going to be talking about arthritis on the next segment of the program. And also, don't forget, Jim Roddy is going to be joining us on the final segment of the program today in about a half an hour. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll talk about arthritis with a medical doctor. Her name is Susan Blum. We'll be chatting with her in just a minute or so. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Listeners, we're going to be talking about, first of all, nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program here today on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey. We're going to be talking about arthritis on the next segment of the program. Our guest visiting with us by telephone is Dr. Susan Blum, MD, medical doctor, and the author of a new book, brand new book, called Healing Arthritis, a three-step guide to conquering arthritis naturally. First of all, Dr. Blum, nice to have you with us here today for a few minutes. Good to talk with you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about arthritis. First of all, I understand from your book that it is the most common cause of disability in the world. Wow. Wow.
Isn't that crazy? I know. That's really, that statistic was very interesting to me as well. And one of the reasons why I decided to write the book, because there's so much amazing new research that we know about the root causes of arthritis, and I wanted to get that the word out because people really need help.
Well, I know it's common. You know, one might guess back pain or something like that is the most common cause for disability, but in fact, it's arthritis. Arthritis used to be thought of as a disease that older people got. That's not the case anymore, is it?
No. And so arthritis is a big umbrella. Okay, so that's the first thing to understand. There's two main big categories of chronic arthritis. One is the autoimmune category, and then you have things like rheumatoid arthritis and psoriatic arthritis, where we see those ads on TV all the time for the strong medication, right, for arthritis, and lupus and Sjogren's and all these autoimmune conditions can have arthritis. And then you have the second big category called osteoarthritis, and that's the one that, you know, most people think is inevitable, right? It's wear and tear as you get older. And what I explore in the book is all the research that we now know that no matter what kind of arthritis you have, the inflammation and pain that you have in your joints starts somewhere else in the body, and that it's a systemic illness. It's not just about wear and tear, and that it's not inevitable. And, you know, the other big thing I want everyone to know is that the statistics, it's changed. It's not just for older folks. There's about, of all people between age 45 and 65, so that's middle age, 30% have doctor-diagnosed arthritis.
Hmm.
I mean, that's a huge number.
I was familiar with rheumatoid arthritis, autoimmune. I was familiar with osteo. Which osteo's bone, you get some wear and tear in the...
or injury, yeah.
Yeah, or injury, that's right. But you had another term in here that I've never even seen before, spondyloarthritis. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yes. So there's a condition called the category of spondyloarthritis. It gets that name because the back, the spine is often involved, and that's people with psoriatic arthritis, you know, people with psoriasis and also joint pain, that's a kind of spondyloarthritis because the back can be involved, as well as a condition called ankylosing spondylitis, which is it's not a very common, AS or ankylosing spondylitis isn't as common, but psoriatic arthritis is actually pretty common, and that falls under that whole category that people don't really it's just terminology, mm-hmm. you know, that doctors mm-hmm. have, and I think it's really important yes, it's very important that a person with arthritis goes to their doctor and gets the right diagnosis. And if you're not sure what kind of arthritis you have, my book explains all that. The whole first section of the book is all the different kinds of arthritis, how to make a diagnosis, how they're different. And that's really important. But from a functional medicine perspective, I'm a functional medicine doc, which means I look at the root cause. So instead of I'm trying to find the root cause, what's triggering the inflammation, and we treat that. And then you can reverse the arthritis at the root of it. And we call it sort of upstream medicine. You know, conventional modern medicine, we really try to make this diagnosis, and we treat you downstream and just manage the symptoms all the way at the end of the river, right? Mm. But instead, let's head up to the mountains. You know, let's see where that river starts, you know, and treat it upstream at the beginning. And the places that we go are... looking at the food, right? Food is an enormous trigger for inflammation in the body, and so I talk a lot about what we know about food and making different kind of choices people could make and food plans that are better for arthritis. And at the end of the day, the good old Mediterranean diet is actually a very health-supportive, gut-supportive, arthritis-supportive food plan, but you really have to focus on those whole foods and get rid of all the sugar and processed foods, and which is the Mediterranean diet, you know, at the end of the day. And so you have to look at food, and the big, big, big thing that's come out in the past 5 years, which I really want to drive home to people listening, is gut health. You know, I'm sure, you know, people have read all about the microbiome, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
You've heard about that. And so what we're learning and what we've learned a lot about already is that those 100 trillion bacteria that live in our gut and, you know, all these, our whole ecosystem that we live in us and around us, the ecosystem in your gut, the microbes, they help determine the amount of inflammation in your body. And so a healthy gut is a healthy immune system, and a healthy gut will keep the inflammation down in your body. And so I really explain that in detail in the book and what's the path to having a healthy gut? You know, so I explain why it's important and then how to heal your gut so that if you have an inflammatory arthritis of any kind, you need to make sure you have a healthy gut. That's like the first most important take home that I want people to know.
You say in your book many times the root cause of arthritis is inflammation. Is this a relatively new development? Did medical science always believe this?
Well, medical science has always known inflammation is what's causing the pain, right? So inflammation, what is inflammation? Inflammation is when there's sort of there's a trigger of some sort, and your immune system reacts to that trigger and releases these chemical compounds that zip around your body, causing swelling, pain, heat, and redness. That's sort of the definition of an itis. Like if you have arthritis, the definition of the inflammation is redness, pain, swelling, and heat. And if you see it on the outside of your body, like in a joint, it's very obvious. You can see it. But on the inside, like in your In your gut or in your muscles or, you know, inside your joints, you can't really see what's going on, but we know that those inflammatory compounds and chemicals are there. That's not new. We've always known that. What we're learning is where, when I talk about root cause, I'm looking for the root cause of that inflammation. So we know that inflammation causes the pain, but the question is, what's the root cause of the inflammation? And that's what's new, and that, you know, newer. You know, in the world of functional medicine, I'm in my second decade of practicing this kind of what we call root cause medicine, and we've always been looking for where inflammation originates in the body. It doesn't. So it's showing up in the joints, and we know that the inflammation. Like I said, I'm repeating myself a little just to drive home the point. The inflammation. Knowing that there's inflammation in the joints isn't new. What's new is we're understanding now where that's coming from.
Listeners, just a little bit about Dr. Blum. And by the way, if you're looking for her online, it's B-L-U-M, Blum, Dr. Susan Blum. She's an assistant clinical professor in the Department of Preventative Medicine at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York City. As she said, she's been treating and preventive chronic disease for more than a decade. She also serves on the medical advisory board for the Dr. Oz Show, and she is the founder of Blum Center for Health. Is there a website for the Blum Center for Health, by the way, doctor?
Absolutely. So our website is blumhealthmd.com, and that's where I would send everybody to look at me and my programs. If you're interested in the book, I have amazing like free giveaway information and downloads that we're giving away for free on the website for the book, which is healingarthritisthebook.com. And if you go there, I have all sorts of videos and information about the book and some free downloads that you can get.
Okay, this is a good opportunity for us to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about the three-step guide that is outlined at some length in Dr. Blum's book, Healing Arthritis. You're listening to It's Your Turn on WISR. We'll pick up our conversation with Dr. Susan Blum right after these words. You ever had to mail a package and suddenly realize you don't have the supplies you need, whether it's wrapping paper or that special really, really strong tape or even mailing labels? There's a service here in Butler that can take care of that problem for you in real short order. It's called Goin' Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. And they do just that. They package your items for shipping, whether it's one box or 15. You can ship any way you want, FedEx, UPS, U.S. Postal Service. Goin' Postal Butler. They're located at 140 Shockey Lane. Now, that's right off Newcastle Road. It's right behind King's and Villa Grande, the two restaurants there. Right behind them in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. By the way, they do more than just package items for shipping. They offer copying service, scanning, faxing, mailbox rentals, custom boxes. They have greeting cards. There's an official notary there. You need to get something notarized before it goes out. You can even pick up a lottery ticket. Here's a phone number for more information about them, 724-841-0044. 724-841-0044. How convenient. How friendly. Your friendly neighborhood shipping center, Goin' Postal Butler, just off Newcastle Road behind King's and De Villa Grande. Another one of our sponsors on the program today, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store. If you have items that, you know, maybe you're doing some cleaning up for the coming holiday season, and you got items that, well, you just don't have room for anymore, maybe it's old furniture, maybe it's clothing, knickknacks, anything. Instead of throwing that away and having it go into the landfill, why not donate the items to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store? They'll sell those items. Somebody will be able to use them at a price they probably wouldn't be able to afford otherwise. And here's the best part. All of the proceeds from the operation of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store stay right here in Butler County. Every penny, it helps to fund their food bank and their client aid program. So remember that. Don't toss it out. St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store. It's in the Greater Butler Mart, Route 8 South. They're open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. And they like to say, we stand tallest when we stoop to help others. Welcome back. I'm Dave Malarkey. You're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR.
And our guest is Dr. Susan Blum, MD. She's a medical doctor and the author of a new book entitled Healing Arthritis, Your Three-Step Guide to Conquering Arthritis Naturally. So we spent the first part of our conversation, Dr. Blum, talking about just what arthritis is, the root cause being inflammation. Now we want to take some time and talk about your three-step guide. We can treat this naturally, you claim?
Yes. Well, I believe very strongly that we can heal it naturally. And actually, one of the things I love that I really enjoyed about this book, this is my second book. I wrote a previous book on autoimmunity. In this book, I wrote a lot of stories about many, many patients that I treated and different kinds of arthritis and the way that we work through this three-step program together. And so it's just very exciting to see, you know, people get better, especially after they've been told by their, conventional docs or their rheumatologists that they're just going to have to live this way for the rest of their lives and be on very strong pain-killing medication, which is, you know, look, conventional medicine is great. If you really are suffering, you're in a flare, you really need to, it's okay to need medication to sort of feel better at that, you know, to do both, right? So you take the medication if you need it to sort of get yourself through this acute phase of or this acute pain that you're having. But then we need to dig into the root cause, like where is this inflammation coming from? And here's my three-step program that I offer people, which I've been using in my practice for, you know, almost two decades to really reverse arthritis. Number one, there's always a food plan that you start with, because food is the way you're eating is the number one thing that influences the health of your gut as well as determines the levels of inflammation in your body. And so I offer what I call it's a leaky gut diet for arthritis. And it's really a basic, if you have inflammatory arthritis or inflammation in your joints, we know that you have some damage to your digestive system. Your gut has some damage. And when you have a damage, and I'm going to talk about that in step two, right? We fix the gut in step two. But for step one, we start with a food plan that is the way to eat for people with a damaged gut. And so we do a basic elimination diet, which is temporary. It's just for step one, and it's you remove gluten, dairy, soy, corn, eggs, and nightshade vegetables. And so there is a food plan, and the book explains it. It's very straightforward and easy. It doesn't sound as easy when I explain it now, by now, when you're just listening to it, but I promise we hold your hand and take you through it. It's really, really important, because when you have a damaged gut, the food you're eating can often be coming into the body and triggering inflammation. It can be a trigger of inflammation. But once we then move to step two, which is repairing the gut, intensive gut repair, once you repair your gut, you can eat those foods again. The problem isn't so much the foods. The problem is the damaged gut. And this is what we're learning and we've learned in the past decade of research.
That kind of scared me, because when you said for the initial start, no gluten, and no dairy, no soy, no corn, no eggs, no sugar, no coffee, not a whole lot left. But you don't have to do that forever.
But you don't do it forever. And it's a temporary. So here's the thing. To make this simple for people listening, it's really, think about it like there's the initial therapeutic phase of the program. You have to start with something quickly. It's like the harder part, which is the beginning. You want to feel better quickly, and you want to remove those triggers. And so it's sort of the therapeutic phase. Yes, at the beginning, everybody, you're not going to find anybody in the functional integrative medicine world. We all start with some sort of an elimination diet, because we know that when you have a leaky gut, and your listeners can look up this term leaky gut, it's like all over, you know, the news and the internet, like all the functional people, we all understand, even conventional gastroenterology, we now know there's this thing called a leaky gut, and conventional rheumatologists, it's in conventional journals now, there's a thing called leaky gut, and if you have arthritis, you have a leaky gut, and so food you're eating is going to cause some inflammation. So until we heal your leaky gut, which is step two, you know, you're going to have to, if you want to feel better and reduce that pain, restricting some of these foods is going to help you feel better. So instead of focusing on what you can't eat, here's the thing. You can have all grains, but you're just going to not have gluten grains, right? So you can have rice and quinoa. There's plenty to eat, right? And so you can have all vegetables, just not corn. Mm-hmm. Right? You can have all legumes, just not soy. So you have to think of it that way. Okay. You know, like, there's plenty of food.
Yeah, that makes
right?
sense.
You can have chicken and turkey, and you can have lamb. There's plenty of food to eat, right? And so there's just a certain amount. There's just a few things we're going to take out, and we help you through that. And you'll feel better. I mean, that's the thing. Isn't it worth it if you have less pain on the food plan, you know?
And you do that for 2 weeks, you say?
You start that the first 2 weeks, exactly. Uh-huh. Okay. And then you start working on healing the gut. And the way that you work on healing the gut, there's some very simple ways to start. I do recommend herbs, and I explain to you where you can get them, you know, and I explain exactly what to buy. And you can, there's plenty of places to buy things. You can get them online at Amazon even, right? Mm-hmm. And so I explain to you which herbs. Because often there's an overgrowth of yeast or bad bacteria, sometimes parasites in the gut. And so there's just simple herbs that you can take to just sort of prune the inner garden, like I like to say, right? So we're going to prune the garden and clean out those bad bacteria. You don't end up in the bathroom. It's sort of like a gut cleanse.
Okay.
So you need to do this sort of gut cleanse, which I take you through very simply. And then I talk about probiotics and the use of probiotics. So probiotics are really helpful. And so you work on repairing the balance of the gut microbes. And that can take anywhere from 1 to 2 months, depending on how bad your arthritis is. And so we work on that. And as you do that, you will feel better. And then step three, which this is where it's really important to understand. The step three, this is from my experience of 2 decades of doing this. I call this the Finish What You Started program, right? I really bring the sanity back. Here's what we know about long term. Here's how to eat in the long term. And this is where I start talking about the Mediterranean diet because it supports the good gut bacteria. You know, this is where we talk about, you know, mindfulness and stress and how stress comes into the body and damages the gut. Because in the long run, to have a healthy gut is what's going to keep your arthritis pain at bay. And so you heal the gut, you heal your arthritis. And so there's a long-term sort of suggestions and a program that's very easy to integrate into your life that I take people through in step three. You know, so I promise you that there's a beginning, more intensive part, but I promise that I take everyone to a very easy to incorporate permanent suggestions that's going to help you heal your arthritis over the long term.
A couple of questions occurred to me. You mentioned probiotics, and I know that's in three of your steps. You know, it seems to me that probiotics, when you're at the store, it's like organic or natural, which has now appeared on almost everything you pick up. I mean, you can pick up anything and it says probiotics. So you talk a little bit about that in your book so we know what we're doing with probiotics?
Yes, there's a whole section on probiotics, actually. And just a quick tip for people listening. Probiotics are very interesting. What are probiotics? They're actually some strains of those good bacteria that live in our gut. You can actually take it in a pill form. I love also using food, right? So there's cultured foods. At first we always remove dairy at the beginning just to see, and then you reintroduce the dairy and see if it gives you any digestive symptoms. If you're not sensitive to dairy, then yogurt is fine, right? So you can also do cultured coconut milk or cultured. There are other ways to get cultured foods. There's fermented vegetables like sauerkraut. So there's a way to get in probiotics that's food-based, okay? So that's the first thing. So at the end of the day, and I talk a lot about this even in the long step three, which is the Finish What You Started sort of program for long term, is to do it with food, right? To try to get all these things and not need supplements. That's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but probiotics, when you're in the store, the research is very clear that for arthritis, probiotics are helpful. They reduce inflammation. It's not like you're just taking seeds that are going to plant new flowers to grow in your inner garden, right? It's actually the probiotics themselves are what we call immunomodulators. They reduce inflammation in the body. And so the studies really look at many strains, so many strains of lactobacillus. So I always tell people, when you go to the store, find a probiotic supplement that has as many strains as possible. And so there's some really good over-the-counter strains, like Garden of Life, for example. And I don't have any stake in Garden of Life, I'm just mm-hmm. saying. That's an easy one to find in any of the health food stores. And so they have many, like 10, 11, 12 different strains of bacteria. And then you know you're going to get sort of what you need. So I favor multi-strains. You want to make sure that a probiotic doesn't give you things you don't want. So some of them are grown on dairy medium, so I like it to be corn and dairy free,
okay.
Right, when you're choosing, because they have fillers in them, supplements. That's sometimes supplements, when you choose any supplements, the big challenge is you want to make sure that what's in there is what you need, but it's not also bringing things you don't, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. fillers and dyes and things like that. And so you want to make sure you're choosing a brand that has no, and it should say it on the bottle, on the box or bottle, easy for you to see, because they should be proud of it, yeah. right? So in terms of refrigerated versus not refrigerated, if possible, it's sometimes, Garden of Life's not refrigerated, so that is one that's okay. Some of them are fine not refrigerated, but I also, because sometimes you don't know where that bottle's been or how it was transported or how it came from the warehouse to the shelf that you're looking at, I do often recommend choosing a refrigerated one if possible.
Mm-hmm. Now, listeners, obviously there's a lot more on probiotics in Dr. Blum's book, Healing Arthritis. A couple of other things I have to mention, because I've read about these being good for arthritis. Fish oil and vitamin D. I know you talk about both of those things.
Absolutely. And so, and first of all, even for people, even if you're listening and you don't have arthritis, inflammation is the root problem for heart disease. We're looking at it for Alzheimer's disease and chronic degenerative brain stuff. Diabetes, cancer, inflammation is at the root of many, many chronic diseases and pain syndromes. And so at the end of the day, you want to reduce inflammation. So when you talk about fish oil, it's sort of an extension of food, right? Because fish oil gives you omega-3 fats. And the standard American diet, the modern American diet, is really imbalanced in the kinds of fats people eat. Animal fat and saturated fat is more inflammatory. Dairy fat is more inflammatory in the body. Whereas fish oil, you know, fat from fish and fat from nuts and seeds is anti-inflammatory. And so we know that that giving people fish oil reduces their pain and inflammation. And so the dose is, so two things. I wanted to make the point that you can do that. This illustrates the importance of food, right? And that eventually you could work with food to get the right kinds of balance of fat in your body so that you'll reduce inflammation. And that's one of the food strategies in the Mediterranean diet, right? It's high in olive oil, nuts and seeds, and fish. Fish oil, taking supplements, which I usually always recommend when the person first comes in to see me, again, this is the therapeutic phase. This is the first few months. High-dose fish oil, which is rich in EPA, DHA, studies have been very clear that they reduce pain and inflammation in the body and in the joints. 3 grams a day of EPA plus DHA, you need to really dose up, right? Mm-hmm. And you want to choose a fish oil that says on the label, guaranteed, free purity guaranteed. You know, no heavy metals, no pesticides, tested, right? So you want to make sure it's really clean.
I got, and our time runs short here, but I must ask you about vitamin D, because I've read about that being good. Now, you know, when I was in, high school, you learned about getting vitamin B by being out in the sun. Now we worry about damage from being out in the sun too long. So is it okay to take a vitamin D supplement?
First of all, thank you for bringing up vitamin D. So, so important. Vitamin D is one of the most important regulators of the immune system. It's for every aspect of your immune system, including inflammation. So I don't have one patient I could think of in my entire medical practice, that, which is thousands of people, that doesn't require a vitamin D supplement. Now, I'm in New York, so, part of it is the exposure to the sun, right? But there's something that's changed in terms of whether it's our ability for the skin to absorb it, or whether it's just the atmosphere's changed and the actual light has changed. But people are not maintaining vitamin D levels by being outside anymore. And yes, people slather themselves with sunscreen, which is going to prevent the vitamin D. So if you want to try to get your vitamin D from sunshine, you actually have to be outside. And it's really in the Northeast, it's 4 months a year, right? So it's only June, July, or May, June, July, August, where mm-hmm. it's strong enough. And you have to 20 minutes, and you have to be in a tank top and shorts, of no sunscreen. So we have an epidemic of low vitamin D levels, and it's your doctor, everybody listening, your doctor should be testing you for this. It's part of an annual checkup. You get a vitamin D level checked, and you see what kind of levels of vitamin D dosing you need. In my practice, I find that 2,000 a day of vitamin D, I mean, I check everyone's levels, and I give them a dose based upon what, you know, what they need to get their targeted vitamin D in the blood to between 50 and 70. You know, that's the levels I'm trying to get people to, and so I dose people, I prescribe the dose based upon helping them raise it to that level. I find 2,000 a day is like maintenance for most of my patients, and I go up to 5,000 a day, you know, to raise it, to get it up to 50 to 70, you know, so, but we follow it, but really, really important, and so, yes, absolutely, fish oil, vitamin D, and there's another kind of oil called GLA, which is borage oil or evening primrose, really good studies on people with rheumatoid arthritis, that 500 milligrams a day of borage oil or evening primrose is also will help lower the pain and inflammation of arthritis. So,
folks, there's tons more on supplements
tons.
In the book.
There, I know.
There are case studies in the book. There's even a section of recipes toward the back. So if you or someone you know or love is dealing with this, it seems like a pretty good book. The title is Healing Arthritis, Your Three-Step Guide to Conquering Arthritis Naturally. And it's by Susan Blum, B-L-U-M, Dr. Susan Blum, M.D. Doctor, nice to talk with you today. Thanks for joining us here.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Sure. So long now.
Bye.
Looking for a way to make your company's benefit package a little more competitive? Here's one that's so easy, more than 130 local organizations and businesses have added it to their programs. Membership in Armco Credit Union. At Armco Credit Union, your employees will have access to the best loan rates and more free banking services, while direct deposit and payroll deduction options make it convenient for both of you. And best of all, it doesn't cost you a thing. Learn more at armcocu.com or by calling 284-2020. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is insured by NCUA.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way, getting there starts here. Just hop the bus, easy and economical. Just hop the bus, no car, no problem. The bus will get you there, 'cause that's what we do.
Hop the bus.
Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
Whether you're a backyard car fixer-upper or an auto repair shop, Milich Auto Wrecking is still the place to go for new and used auto and truck parts. They have been for over 40 years. And compared to factory prices, you'll save big bucks. Milich Auto Wrecking is neatly organized and will tell you immediately if they have the part or not. Open Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5. It's Milich Auto Wrecking, Route 38, the Oneida Valley Road. Look for the big black and red sign. Stop by or call 287-1001. And yes, old Uncle Fred still goes to Milich.
Friends, it is the Wednesday edition. If it's your turn, we're expecting to hook up with our next scheduled guest, Jim Roddy, but we have not made contact with him yet, so hopefully we'll be able to do that within the next few minutes and still talk to him about an upcoming program that will examine the impact of the Shell cracker plant, which, in case you haven't been following the news, I have not been down there to see it. I've talked with people who have driven by, and they say already it's incredibly impressive, even though it's only in the beginning stages of construction. It's gargantuan to begin with. Well, anyway, we're still hoping to hook up with Jim Roddy. Let me tell you what's coming up later on the program. We have Open Talk tomorrow on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. Open Talk. I think tomorrow is the day that the scheduled release of the medical archives of JFK's assassination are scheduled to be released. Isn't that tomorrow? I think it is. Yes. 50, I don't know how many years now. That was in 1963, so that's 54 years. Since, 54 years since the Kennedy assassination. And they were scheduled for release, and then there was a possibility that President Trump would hold them up, but I understand a couple of days ago he said he's not going to hold them up, and barring any unforeseen development, I'll be released. I don't know what's going to be there, but I've always been fascinated by the investigation into the assassination of John F. Kennedy. I'm not convinced that we've heard all there is to hear. Neither is Dr. Cyril Wecht, by the way, former coroner for Allegheny County, who's been involved in researching the JFK assassination for years and years and years. He thinks the official Warren Commission report was hokey. And I don't know. I tend to side with Dr. Wecht. I'll be anxious to see what turns up tomorrow, and I don't know when. They're scheduled to be released early in the morning or what? I don't know. Are they online, visible to anyone? I don't know. Well, we'll try to get some information for you on that tomorrow. We'll talk about it. Also tomorrow, we'll be chatting with a man who suffered not one but two very severe strokes a decade ago. And he has fought his way back from paralysis and other difficulties with the support of family and friends and his faith. His name is Mark Moore. He'll be with us to talk about that on tomorrow's program. This coming Sunday, I believe it's Sunday, is World Stroke Day, calling awareness to stroke and cardiovascular disease. So we'll talk to Mark Moore tomorrow. And then on Friday, in case you weren't with us earlier on the program today, a Butler native, a native daughter, her name is Beth Brown. She lives in Florida now, Delray Beach, I think. And she's lived down there for a long, long time. Graduated from Butler High School, went to Butler County Community College, and then went on to get an engineering degree. And she teaches computer science somewhere down in Florida. But she's also written a novel that has many references to Butler back in the days when she lived here. So there are references to some of the stores that used to be here and aren't here anymore. Sounds pretty interesting. The book is called Threaded Destiny. It's available at the Book Nook. In fact, she's going to be making a personal appearance there on Saturday. But she's flying in, and she'll be with us on Friday. I'm anxious to meet her. I've talked to her on the phone. She'll be with us on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn, among other things that we'll be doing on Friday. Well, I think we're going to take a break here. It doesn't look like we're going to be able to make our connection with Jim Roddy today, so we'll try to reschedule that for another time. But we'll take a quick break here, and I believe we're going to be able to chat with Leonard Mlodinow coming up on It's Your Turn here on WISR. We're looking good for that. Okay, and we'll check in with Mr. Mlodinow in just a moment.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? When a tornado is tearing through town? Or a hurricane strikes? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, listeners. It's the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey, and we are pleased that we're able to make our connection with Jim Roddy, our next guest for the next segment of the program. Jim Roddy is a senior advisor with St. Barnabas Health System. You may know him as the former county executive in Allegheny County. And it's the first time that I've been able to speak with him. Jim Roddy, it's nice to meet you.
Well, it's nice to meet you, and I'm glad to be on your show and be able to talk to you and all of your listeners.
Well, the pleasure is ours. I can't tell you how many times I've seen you on TV back in your days as chief executive in Allegheny County. Were you the first one, by the way? I was trying to remember that the other day.
Yes, I was the first county executive. In fact, I really got involved in the office because I was working on getting the referendum passed to go to home rule mm-hmm. and create a county executive. So I decided that I would run, and it rained all day on election day, and I won.
I don't know about that, being the chief factor. Listeners, just to bring you up, I don't want to leave anybody in the dark here. We'll get to our topic in just a couple of seconds. But Butler County, of course, most counties in Pennsylvania have a board of county commissioners. We've got three. Allegheny County used to have three as well. But then, as Mr. Roddy said, there was a referendum. They got a home rule approved, and they went to just one person, one chief executive. And the very first one was Jim Roddy. The current chief executive is Rich Fitzgerald, I believe, right?
Yes, but we do have a council. We have an elected 13 districts, and every district is represented on council by a council person, and it's a form of government very similar to the state with a governor and a House and Senate and the U.S. government with the Congress and the president. So it's a much better system and much more democratic system.
We're talking with Mr. Jim Roddy today, folks, because he's going to share with us some information on an upcoming program that will examine the impact of the Shell cracker plant on Western Pennsylvania and how local folks can be a part of it. And that program, Jim Roddy, is coming up, well, it's the end of next week, I think, right?
Yes, November the 3rd. It's Friday, and a lot of people don't know what a cracker plant is. They think that we used to have a cracker plant. Nabisco was a cracker plant in East Liberty, but this is a very different kind of cracker. There is a formation within the Marcellus Shale gas formation. There's a gas called wet gas, and that wet gas appears in areas of West Virginia, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. If you drew a line of about 300 miles around Pittsburgh, you would cover a large portion of the wet gas. And wet gas is simply a gas that has a higher moisture content and includes several chemicals that are important for the production of plastic. And so the chemical companies that make plastic will all want to locate as close as they can to the cracker plant so that they can get their raw materials without having transportation costs added. And so the real value of the cracker plant not only is that they'll have 500 to 700 employees working there, once it's finished, during the construction phase, it'll probably be 6,000 to 7,000 people on a $6 billion plant. But once it's built, the real big numbers will come from the many chemical plants that will locate adjacent, and they could have as many as 15, 20, even 25,000 employees.
Well, this is obviously then going to have a significant impact of the economy of all of Western Pennsylvania, that's for sure.
Yes, it'll be located in Monaca in Beaver County, and Beaver County, of course, will be the prime beneficiary, but the whole region will benefit. Once you have that kind of employment increase anywhere in the 5 or 10 county area, it lifts all boats, so we're very fortunate.
And here in Butler County, Beaver County, just across the line, really, and now that we have so much going on in Cranberry, especially with the UPMC Lemieux Sports Center and the Penguins practicing there and so on and so forth, this is practically in Butler County's backyard, even though technically it's in Beaver County.
It really is, and I'm always amazed at how close Butler and Beaver are. I keep thinking that Beaver is more in the Mon Valley and Butler is more north, but they really do connect in a large section of the counties.
So what's going to happen at this program coming up on Friday, November 3rd? It's an all-day event, I guess?
No, not really. It starts in the morning, and everyone will be able to leave by lunchtime.
Oh, okay.
It starts at about 8 o'clock at a breakfast. The sponsors are the North Region Chamber of Commerce, which includes part of Allegheny and part of Butler County. St. Barnabas Health System, which is located in Butler, Beaver, and Allegheny County.
Mm-hmm.
And we will sponsor a seminar, and it will be, the speakers will be Michael Marr. Michael Marr is an executive with the Shell Oil Company, and he is coming from the Shell headquarters in Houston with the responsibility to complete the construction of the cracker plant and to head up the operation there. So he is really the most important official that we could have gotten, and someone that has not yet really spoken in Pittsburgh, and he'll be new to Pittsburgh, and we're really looking forward to having him. And our other speaker will be David Spiegelmeyer, who is the chairman of the Marcellus Shale Coalition. So he will talk about all of the benefits that the chemical companies will receive and what the downstream effects of all of this extraction of the wet gas and the production of the chemicals, what that's going to mean to the economy. So it's really an important session, and we're looking forward to it. Presentation will start about 9 o'clock. It's $30. The $30 includes a continental breakfast and the seminar. And after they each of the gentlemen speak for about 20 minutes each, then there will be a nice long hour-long question and answer with the audience, and we hope to get everyone's questions answered.
Well, I don't know. Mr. Michael Marr, of course, as you said, this will be his first real public speaking engagement in Western Pennsylvania. I know David Spiegelmeyer. In fact, he's been a guest on this program twice to give us updates on the Marcellus shale industry. I think his most recent appearance here was maybe a year and a half ago. I'm assuming that he would be a good person to give kind of an update on the Marcellus shale industry right now, because, you know, we had a big flurry, Jim Roddy, and then it kind of slowed down for a while.
It slowed down really because the price of gas went very low, and it just was not economical for them to continue to drill. But they're drilling again now, and it's beginning to pick up, and David is going to report on that and tell how the companies can get involved as part of the supply chain, and how they're going to ramp up very quickly and start drilling again. So it's going to be a very positive and upbeat conference. I'm sure that there'll be many people there that have a lot of questions, and we're looking forward to it. I'm going to moderate the program. And the value that I bring is that I've done everything wrong at least once. So I can always say, oh, no, don't do that.
Self-deprecating James Roddy, folks, visiting with us here. There's a lot of Marcellus wells in Butler County. In fact, if you look at a map, they're spread around in all corners, but the vast bulk of them are in the southwestern corner of Butler County, and that's the closest to the cracker plant. I have noticed here, Mr. Roddy, even during the downturn in the drilling, I have noticed pipelines being constructed across Butler County like crazy. Obviously, the companies were anticipating an upturn, and then, you know, the most efficient way to get the gas to the cracker plant, huh?
Well, yes, that. But and also, they didn't have a way to get the gas to the marketplace that they were already drilling. And, you know, you mentioned earlier about they started off with a flurry, but we simply didn't have the pipeline infrastructure in place to transport the gas. So transporting the gas was very expensive. And so the really important part now is building the pipeline system that will carry it to the refineries, and that's the work you're seeing, and that work is going to continue.
That work amazes me. There are several locations in Butler County. I don't know whether they're doing much of that in Allegheny County, but, man, they crisscross several major highways here, and some of these pipelines are pretty big. It's amazing how they can construct these, and obviously there are rights of way, but by and large, they finish up and, plant the topsoil and grass and so on and so forth, and within a few months or a year, you hardly know they've been there.
That's right. That's one of the things that the industry has learned over the years. I can remember building watching the system being built years ago in Texas and Oklahoma, and they weren't always that environmentally concerned. But today, when they build a pipeline, of course, it's all prefabricated. And they come in and acquire the right-of-way. That's probably the longest period it takes to get the right-of-way and get all the clearances necessary. And then they dig and plant those pipes, put in pumping stations, and when they're gone, you really hardly even notice that they've been there. You're exactly right, and that's a very good observation.
Well, one of the main items that will be discussed at this seminar coming up a week from Friday, November 3rd, that's Friday of next week, is the opportunities for businesses in our region to actually become vendors to Shell and to Shell suppliers. Is this just gargantuan big businesses who might be interested in this, Jim Roddy, or all sizes?
It's all sizes. It could be a printing company. It could be a small engineering company. It can be a trucking company. It can be a company that supplies gravel and concrete. Any number of companies that are involved in the construction process, the well pads is certainly something that occurs from local vendors in Marcellus drilling, but we're seeing more and more people being trained over the years that Marcellus has been drilling, so there'll be more people that live in Pittsburgh. Initially, a lot of the workers came from the Southwest, oil field with oil field experience,
mm-hmm.
But lately we've been seeing more and more people actually being hired right here and trained. So. But it adds hotels and restaurants and all sorts of services for the people that are working here, and we'll see an uptick in use of the airport. All of those things are affected.
So there'll be some discussion at the seminar as to just how local businesses can become involved and can be a real part of this.
Exactly, and that's really that's why the. The Chamber of Commerce, the Northern Region Chamber, the North Region Chamber, is sponsoring because they want their members. They have 1,200 members, and they want their members to be able to access this great benefit that's coming to Pittsburgh and the Pittsburgh region.
This seminar coming up on Friday, November 3rd, is actually part of a series of Innovation Pittsburgh seminars. Where is it going to be held, Jim Roddy?
It's at the Keene Theater in Washington Place on Meridian Road on the St. Barnabas campus. I think it's 5847 Meridian Road. If people would like to know more about it, they can call 724-443-0700 and ask to speak to me, Jim Roddy, or to Jim Letary, who is our marketing director. Both of us can give you whatever information you need.
Could you give us that phone number again, Jim?
It's 724-443-0700.
Okay. And it's not too late to register to attend a week from Friday.
It will not be too late, right up to the deadline.
I don't know whether you're knowledgeable on this or not, but somebody asked me a few months ago whether Shell, because we refer to this as the Shell cracker plant, is this, because you mentioned that Mr. Marr was coming from Houston, is Shell a subsidiary or a partner with the international firm Royal Dutch Shell, or are they separate companies? Do you know?
No, this is part of Royal Dutch Shell. This is the Shell Oil Company, one of the largest energy companies in the world, and they didn't blink when the price tag was $6 billion to build the plant.
Wow!
So it's a very large company and a very responsible company.
They're obviously, you know, a company like this does their homework. They're not going to invest this kind of money without a pretty solid feeling that this is going to last for a while. Because I've heard some people say, well, you know, how much longer will the Marcellus Shell boom continue? Obviously, Shell thinks it's going to be for a heck of a long time.
Well, not that long, really. Only about 100 years. So it certainly will be here as long as I'm here, and beyond, long beyond that. But it is a long-term play, and you're right about when you invest $6 billion, you want to be sure it's going to be you're going to have a return on your investment. They're not doing it because they just enjoy drilling.
There's another layer called the Utica
layer,
which is deeper, further down into the earth than the Marcellus. But I have no knowledge on whether that's wet gas or not. We'll leave that to the experts. Probably be somebody at the seminar who could talk to that subject.
I'm sure they could. I think most of the wet gas is in the upper levels, but the Utica level, and I'm not an engineer, so I can't say if there's wet gas in that formation or not, but the Utica is explained to me that it could be larger than the Marcellus. And the Marcellus formation has really given us the title of we are the Saudi Arabia of natural gas. So we're blessed to have both the Marcellus and the Utica and the wet gas. And the interesting thing is that, you know, most economic development projects are thought out, and people work on them and come up with ideas. This just happened to be there. We had nothing to do with it. We were just fortunate enough, sort of like our first evolution with the location of coal and iron and having three rivers. We didn't really do much to create that, but we sure took advantage of it.
I have not been down past the site. Somebody told me this summer that it's already pretty fantastic to look at, even though it's in very early stages of development. Have you seen it? Have you seen the site?
I have seen it, and I have seen aerial photos, which is even more impressive. And it looks big, and to think that they're just, you know, only about a third or fourth of the way through with the production. But there's a lot of very intricate machinery that has to be employed before they can start. So a lot of what you're seeing is not indicative of all of the equipment that's going to be inside those structures that they're building.
Listeners, just to recap here, chatting with Jim Roddy, he will be moderating this Innovation Pittsburgh seminar coming up a week from this Friday, November 3rd, at the Keene Theater at St. Barnabas. The title of the seminar is The Impact of the Shell Cracker Plant in the Region and How You Can Be Part of It. And if you're interested in seeing how you could be part of this, you can call this phone number for more information, 724-443-0700. Register for this seminar, and Jim Roddy says there's still time to do that, but I wouldn't dilly-dally around too much longer. It's a week from Friday.
And I wanted to share with you a story that a lady came up to me today and said, well, we've already had a cracker plant here. And I said, really? Where was it? She said, in East Liberty. It was called Nabisco. And so I had to explain to her the difference.
Yeah, that's still, that's been, or in the process at least, of being redeveloped. And I think with a nod toward history, they call it Bakery Square now. Isn't that right?
That's right, Bakery Square. And that's where Google is located. And many of the high-tech companies. It's a wonderful, wonderful addition to the Pittsburgh region.
Jim Roddy, a pleasure to meet you. Nice to have you with us on the program today.
Good to be with you, and I hope that we'll have a good turnout, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
That would be a pleasure, sir. Thanks again.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Jim Roddy, senior advisor now to St. Barnabas. You see him, you know, on TV with St. Barnabas, on TV commercials and so on. Yeah. The midday lottery numbers are coming up next. We'll be right back.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 9797. Pick 3 is 477-477. Pick 4, 8345. Pick 5, 34631. Wild ball for each is 8. The treasure hunt, 4, 8, 19, 21, and 30. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $10,000.
Thanks for being with us today. We thank our earlier guests, Bob Dandoy, also Dr. Susan Blum, a medical doctor, and, of course, Jim Roddy. Open talk on tomorrow's program. Hopefully there'll be some information on the release of the Kennedy assassination archives that we can talk about tomorrow. We'll also be talking with a man who's recovered from two devastating strokes and shares his story. His name is Mark Moore, and we'll have some other treats for you as well on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. I'm Dave Malarkey. We'll see you tomorrow, 12:30, here on It's Your Turn on WISR.
The classic hits are on Real Hometown Radio, WISR 680 Butler.
CBS News.